This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
The story of that first Christmas continues with Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. So Christmas is very, very, very close at this point in the day, right? But the question is, when is Christmas here? What's the thing that tells you that Christmas has arrived? There's probably that like one thing that when that happens, it is now Christmas, that sign that it's here. And I can't tell you what that sign should be for you. I can tell you that I'm kind of a Christmas glutton, so there are lots of things that I eat or drink only around Christmas time. So there's peanut brittle and there's fudge. I have like a very low threshold for fudge, so there's singing of the Father's love begotten, but probably mostly there's eggnog, if I'm really honest with you. And so you might be like more religious than me. Your thing might be grandpa reading Luke chapter 2 to the grandkids, or it could be this candlelight service and singing Silent Night all together, as we'll do in just a few minutes. And it's okay if your sign is not this service. I'm still glad that you're here. Your sign may be related to whatever it is you've spent the year waiting for, whatever it is you've spent the year longing for, whether that's wholeness in your body or your relationships, whether that's justice or peace or thriving in this world. And you know, your sign, whatever that sign is, may not happen at all, at least in the way that you're anticipating it. And that's okay too. Stick with me here. Because the Christmas story takes this really strange turn right after Jesus is born. It takes this odd turn out into the fields where the shepherds are minding their own business and minding somebody else's sheep, and the angel heralds appear blowing their really long trumpets and announce something that has happened that the shepherds have no otherwise access to. The shepherds have been waiting. They've been waiting for something that's really long in coming. They've been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises to David and to all their ancestors. See, centuries before, David, the great king, had actually been a shepherd out on those same hills tending sheep. And a prophet arrived in town and called him in from the field so that he could be anointed as king over God's people. And God promised to David a covenant, an unending political dynasty, and the freedom to worship God and hope and wholeness for all the people in that kingdom. Only that promise didn't play out in the way that we had expected that it would. The people spent then 500 years at least under foreign power, and they had to learn new ways to be faithful to the promise that God had given them. Which is not to say that the shepherds were talking about any of that as they sat around the fire that evening out in the field with the sheep, because the daily work of poverty has a way of crowding out our hope for deeper wholeness in our lives. But then the angels show up in that sky. The angels show up. They're at least as out of place as, say, a baby lying in a feed trough. The angels show up in that sky and they announce that it is time. It's time for those ancient promises to be fulfilled. It's time for good news for all God's people. God's promises have always been for all God's people and beyond all God's people. These covenant promises have always called us to respond to the needs of those who are most vulnerable among us. Which is actually why it was that King David was a shepherd before he became king of the people, because shepherds have that way of reflecting God's care for the people. Shepherds know that the well-being of their flock depends on the way that they attend to the weakest and most vulnerable of the sheep, and so it is with humans as well. Whatever happened that night in Bethlehem was God's covenant promise for all people being made real for us. And what happened that night in Bethlehem? A baby. The angels announce that God has fulfilled everything that God has promised forever, and they say there's a sign that this is true, and the sign is a baby. That may not be exactly what we would have expected if we were in the shepherd's shoes sitting out there in that field that night. But we're invited to see that sign, the sign of that child who is swaddled and laid in a manger. We're invited to look through that moment to see what God is doing in our world. This baby is a sign of David's story. David's story at its very best. A story that lifts up the humble. A story of hearts that seek after God. A story of placing God right at the very center of our lives in this world. This sign points to David. And this sign points beyond David as well. It points to one whose singleness of purpose beyond himself would be perfect. It pointed to one whose care for the weak and the vulnerable would be the center of who he was. It points to a forgiveness that goes far beyond the limits of our sin. This sign points even beyond itself. This sign points far beyond everything because this is the night when eternity enters time. This is the night when eternity enters this world and this moment, when the Creator enters this cosmos, when the God who gave us birth is born. So I invite you to celebrate whatever sign that is for you, that Christmas is here. Or celebrate that sign that you didn't expect, but that still interrupts your everyday life or all of your expectations for this season with the news that God has yet been faithful. I invite you to savor that rich food that maybe you save only for this season, and trust that God's abundant life is here to fill you and all those around you. I invite you to feel God's surprising presence, whether that's in the crisp invigoration of that cold night air out there or the warmth of a blanket you can place around your neighbor's shoulders. I invite you to sing carols with the same joy and excitement that God feels in you. I invite you to look through this night, through this moment, into the steadfast love that comes into being tonight and always in Christ's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.